In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This great feast of Christ the King is relatively new to the Church's calendar, although the theology and the import of the feast that we celebrate is at the very heart of our life of faith. When this feast was established in 1925, in the articulation of it, the Pope reminded us that the kingdom of God, the kingship of God, the authority of our Lord over all of us, is a reality that must first permeate our hearts and transform the manner in which we live our lives. It is there first and foremost about an intimate union that we share with our Lord and Savior, and how we comport ourselves as Christian men living in the world. But then he also said we would do ourselves a disservice if we thought of this only in terms of the spiritual reality and lost sight of the fact that the Lord does indeed have kingship over men in the material realm. God is the author of all things. He has kingship over all things. That is the hearts of those who believe in him, certainly, but it is the lives of all mankind. After all, he is the king of all men, not just those who believe in him, but all created things must understand the dominion in relationship with the Lord. It seems to me, brothers and sisters, as we try to make sense of the world in which we live, at the heart of the difficulty of the world in which we live today is precisely our refusal to accept the authority, rightly so, of God over all of us. To accept that in obedience that we are called to do the things that God commands us to do. This admits to no compromise, admits to no bargaining, and certainly it is not left up to us to decide how this is to be lived out. Rather, the example we follow is the example first of Christ himself, who was obedient to the Father even unto death. And as he was obedient to the Father, so he all calls each of us to be obedient in the same way, to do what it is that we have been commanded to do. This has never been an easy thing to accomplish. From the disobedience of Adam and Eve, to the rejection of Judas and his betrayal, to the disciples themselves who abandon our Lord at his hour of need. And of course, sadly, throughout the history of the church, men and women alike who have chosen to go their own way, leading to the corruption of the body of Christ that exists today, precisely because of an unwillingness to listen to what God commands us to do. Most especially in those moments when it is difficult to precisely do that. The Lord himself made very clear to us that the obedience that he was asking of us was not going to be an easy thing. It was going to require something from us. And the something that is required of us is nothing short of our very lives. We must give everything about who we are over into the hands of the Lord and trust that he will dispose of our lives according to his will and his providence. The Lord has never lied. The Lord has never deceived us. The Lord has never dissembled in our presence or what it is that he's had to say to us or the manner in which he has interacted with us. There is no reason for us not to trust in the Lord. And yet, how often and easy it is at times for us to listen to the voices of the world, which really ultimately is the voice of Satan himself, who speaks in a variety of different ways, but only and always tells us lies about the world in which we live, about ourselves and how we live in this world. And sadly, the voice of Satan has even found its way into the life of Holy Mother Church herself. But we know what it is that we ought to do and the manner in which we ought to do it, because from time immemorial, the law of God is written on our hearts. It's written into our very beings. When God then, therefore, commands of us an obedience, it is not an imposition on us, forcing us to be something that we are not. Rather, our obedience to the Lord is allowing us to be the best of what God intends us to be. It is only in obedience to him, recognizing his rightful kingship over us, that we can truly be set free. As St. John Paul II said in his reflections on our Lord as Redeemer, that all men, all of salvation, stands in reference to our Lord and Savior. No human being, no person on the earth can truly understand themselves apart from our Savior. And so, yes, what is required of us who are believers is first and foremost to, in our daily lives, manifest our obedience to the will and the work of God. in the way that we live, in the way that we execute the particular vocations that have been bestowed upon us, and of course our constant and unwavering fidelity to the perennial truths and teachings of Holy Mother Church. But then we must likewise, in the manner in which we live our lives, in being examples of obedience for others, evangelize the world and remind them that they're not fully complete until they are complete in the Lord. And their completion in the Lord makes itself clear unto us, unto God, by doing the things of God. In truth, brothers and sisters, the world will not truly be complete until every person living on the earth is indeed a practicing Roman Catholic. This is our task, always, in every age, to go forth and to transform the world. Not because we have something greater than they do, but because we have been gifted with something greater. We have a relationship with the living God who has revealed himself to us, and in that act of revelation has shown to us how it is we ought to be and the fullness of our existences. And as we listen to our gospel, we realize how indeed this is achieved. The kingship of our Savior is achieved on the cross. It is not by armies. It is not by power naked and abused. It is by sacrifice and suffering and death that authority is established once and for all. So not only then are we required to follow after our King, to be obedient to him in everything that he says, we likewise must be obedient to him in the manner that he himself manifested his obedience to the Father, by sacrificing ourselves, by willingly carrying our crosses, most especially in these difficult times. We don't seek recourse in the public square. We don't try to transform the world in our own image. Rather, we live as God intends us to live. And if we are indeed endowed with the power to change the world, then we need to change the world. But in truth, the world has already been transformed by the mystery of our Lord's cross and the conquering of sin and death once and for all. All that remains for us now, those of us who live here on earth, is to live rightly in this kingdom of which we can become members through the sacrament of baptism, sealed by water and the blood of our Savior, and nourished in the Eucharistic sacrifice. This is how we manifest to the world that we are members of this kingdom. And so as we honor our King, we will at the conclusion of Holy Mass consecrate ourselves yet again to our Lord's Sacred Heart, an outward act and manifestation of our interior desire to give everything about who we are over to our Lord. Give thanks to the Lord that you have been found worthy to be members of such a great kingdom. And through the Eucharistic sacrifice and the graces attending to it, pledge in every moment of your daily lives to live as members of the kingdom of Christ, who is our King here on earth and in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.